The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
In this episode, we are going to follow up on a previous podcast episode where we talked about root cause analysis. I'm going to share an article from Taproot, our friends over there at Taproot. No affiliation, by the way. They provide a great article that I will recap for you in this episode, Best Practices for Root Cause Analysis. So let's get into it.
Welcome to the Safety Pro Podcast, powered by iReport Source, helping you manage safety one episode at a time. With the constant regulatory and workplace culture challenges businesses face, we'll provide you with all the relevant information necessary to achieve a safer, more productive workplace. No management theories, platitudes, or guru speak, just actionable info you can use right away. Now here's your host, the Safety Pro himself, Blaine Hoffman.
All right, as promised, six best practices of root cause analysis. So I get these emails from Taproot, and if you don't sign up for their newsletter, go ahead and do so. They've got some pretty good info that comes your way to your inbox, but I picked this one up and it was timely because not only did we cover, root cause analysis and, continuous process improvement, PDCA, and in previous episodes as they relate to safety management systems, but I've also been doing a lot of work with colleagues recently on root cause analysis. This popped into my inbox, and I thought I'm going to recap this topic on the podcast and reference this Taproot article. Now, before we get into the six best practices that you need to perform in order to perform a root cause analysis the right way, we are going to cover a recap real quick. What is a root cause analysis done the right way? So how would you measure if a root cause analysis was right or wrong? In order to be successful in completing a root cause analysis, at a minimum, you should provide a complete, clear picture of what event took place, what happened, right? Identify all of the problems, causal factors, and contributing factors that led to the incident being investigated. Find the real root causes of each problem. Remember, this is plural, right? Find the generic causes. I would call those contributing factors. Those are secondary, but related to of each of those root causes. Develop effective corrective actions for all of them. And then, of course, you got to get management to understand the problems and solutions and take timely action to get the solutions implemented. The question is, what best practices do you need to implement in order to make successful root cause analysis happen? First best practice, right? The first thing you should do is provide a complete, clear picture of what happened. And without this clear, complete picture, the investigators, they're just making things up. The results of the investigation will be guesses. So if you need to provide a complete, clear picture of what happened, you're going to need to, at a minimum, right? You're going to need to know how to collect evidence. I have a previous episode talking about the four types of evidence that you need to be collecting. So go ahead and refer to that one. So that's one, need to know how to collect evidence. Organize the evidence into a complete, easy to understand story. So you start to organize the evidence. So you could be using, a fishbone, you could be using some diagrams, a timeline. There are different tools you can use to organize this evidence, also covered in previous episodes. But then you're going to want to share that evidence and the story subsequently with others. That's, management, other investigation team members, or other workers. There's going to be a diverse audience that will be receiving the results of all of this, right? So how do you do that? Well, let's go back a ways, back into the 80s, right? Taproot worked with, or I guess you could say discovered a technique that was taught by the System Safety Development Center at the Department of Energy. They used this in the nuclear industry. So there was an investigator from Duke Power that shared his experience with Taproot, and that was called Events and Causal Factors Charting, ENCF charting. That technique was based on another technique used by the National Transportation Safety Board investigation team. That technique was called Multilinear Event Sequencing, or MES. So Taproot used the ENCF charting in the first generation of Taproot, but they eventually simplified and improved the technique into their own tool called Snapchart Diagram. So the Snapchart Diagram is, you know, their best practice, and it is used by a lot of industry leaders around the world to provide a clear picture of what happened, like graphically, and how it happened to the investigation team members, managers, workers, even regulators, okay? They've proven the effectiveness of this chart. And then they, of course, they teach this in their training program. I'll have a sample of the Snapchart in the show notes as well for you. You have to go to the website to view images in the show notes. You won't see images in the podcast app show notes. So go to the website for this episode and you'll see an example of this Snapchart. But whatever you use graphically, you have to be able to show what happened, provide that clear picture of what happened and how it happened, right? So the second root cause analysis best practice, so, you know, you have to identify all the problems or causal factors that led to the incident being investigated. Many folks will focus on like a single problem, like even a single root cause when they're investigating an incident. If the investigator focuses on a single cause, you're going to miss other opportunities to improve performance and even stop future incidents, right? Because, you know, there's usually more than one problem or causal factor that leads to an incident. Going back to that quick little story about the 1980s, what was discovered was that even for fairly simple incidents, there are usually multiple problems that need to be analyzed, right? So you've got causal factors is sort of the generic term for all of these. So I've often said you've got root causes, direct cause and effect to the incident, but then you have contributing factors that led to the root causes, you know, being manifested, if that makes sense. So if you look at an actual root and then you have feeder roots that come off of the main root, there, those are contributing factors. Those made it possible or allowed the direct root causes to occur more readily. So you are going to be looking at multiple problems. And the third root cause analysis best practice is to find the real root causes of each problem. Even with all of this evidence in front of you, you're going to get tricked into the wrong root cause, or you could be tricked. And how this happens is, you know, well, there are multiple, you know, errors that could lead to this, but a real quick list is what confirmation bias, hindsight bias, favorite cause of the week, right? You've got your flavor of the week, or you've got your quick list, right? Human error, not paying attention, poor training. You've got those types of things you go to real quick. You could have no formal human factors training or guidance or systematic process to investigate. You know, that right there is going to lead you down the wrong path. Thinking you know what the cause is also confused with confirmation bias, but picking from a list of causes, that if you're using software, for example, and you drop down a common list, you kind of force one of the contributing factors or root causes into one of those labels, and it may not be entirely accurate. So when you run metrics, you're going to see trends that aren't really related closely enough to some of the actual root causes of incidents. So you're going to watch out for these things. And the best way to do that is to just be aware of them and know what they are. The fourth root cause analysis best practice is find the generic causes of each root cause, or what I would call contributing factors. You know, some folks, they're going to stop when they find a root cause. But contributing factors or generic causes, it starts with the root cause and then goes beyond that root cause or causes to find what is allowing each of the root cause to exist, and fixing those contributing factors or generic causes can help you eliminate a whole class of problems, okay? And let's do a quick example. Let's say that you have a problem with a procedure and it has more than one action in a step. To fix that procedure, you would rewrite the procedure with just a single action per step. Now, once you've finished fixing that one procedure involved in this incident, you might start thinking, okay, well, what about other procedures? Do those procedures have similar problems? What if you find that many procedures have more than one action per step? Then you know that there is, you know, this contributing factors or generic cause. You need to ask, what in the system is allowing procedures written with more than one action per step? And then you have to fix that. So maybe your procedure writing review process, your change management process, SOP creation process, that you start looking into that and fixing that. So that's just a quick, you know, dirty example, but you're going to want to dig deep on those, okay? And the fifth root cause analysis best practice is develop effective corrective actions. You might think that once you as an investigator or other investigators find, you know, the real, using air quotes, the real root causes, of course, we want the contributing factors in there as well, that you're going to be on the home stretch, right? I mean, what could go wrong? But many people, even when, you know, they identified root causes, still don't develop effective corrective actions. So corrective actions, you could look at the hierarchy of controls. You can create a checklist to help or a guide, but basically you want to look at the likelihood and severity, if it were to occur, should be driving your focus in either elimination, substitution, or engineering controls versus some things that are less likely to occur and have a minor impact overall, can use some administrative controls, some work practices, new procedures, and coaching and training after those procedures have been modified and changed, things like that. But you're going to want to make sure that you effectively eliminate the environmental conditions, equipment problems or issues, physical, you know, changes to the workplace, all of that stuff. You're going to want to make sure you go deep enough on eliminating those. The sixth root cause analysis best practice, get management to understand the problems and solutions and take timely action to get those implemented. Now, we understand what happened. We define the causal factors and even contributing factors right there. We've got an effective correction action identified for each one of them. So getting management to approve the corrective actions and then getting them implemented, you're going to need to marshal some resources toward that, whether it's financial or just internal, like maintenance or engineers or doing some work. But you're going to want to get management on board. And that's where this last best practice comes in. That is an effective method to present the investigation to management and get their approval to implement the effective corrective actions. Now, Taproot uses that snapchat diagram, but you know, however you are able to graphically illustrate this to management and actually make that tie to one of the contributing factors or root causes, each action item has to tie to one of those, you know, that you got to get them on board, and you should be able to spell out exactly what needs to be done. It should paint a very clear picture, okay? Management's much more likely to commit resources to corrective actions when they understand what happened, how it happened, why it happened, and what we got to do to fix it. So a very easy to understand presentation. It doesn't need to be fancy, but you got to put this pitch together and tell this story. And one of the things that you're going to want to look out for is that when you present your findings, your summary, and you present your actions and you're trying to garner support, if management has like all kinds of questions, hey, wait a minute, did you guys look at this? Did you review that? Hey, what about this other shift? How do they do? If there's a lot of questions that come out of this presentation, then you didn't do your job well enough. You've got to make sure you provide every answer to a question they haven't even asked yet. So you really got to wrap all this up tight. So, hey, check out this article. This is a quick episode, but I read this article and I thought, you know, I'm going to talk a little bit about this and I'm going to share this with the listeners because it's pretty handy. I like it a lot. I like what Taproot does. Again, no affiliation. Just really good information that I believe that you can use going forward. I will have a link to this article in the show notes as well as the diagrams that you can use. But hey, on your path to systemically improving the workplace and strengthening the defenses we need against failures that we should be anticipating that could happen, but on your path, on your journey to that end, you know, I come across this stuff and I just want to really share it all with you. So let me know what you think. What are some best practices that you've had when it comes to root cause analysis? Look for the post for this episode on LinkedIn and join in on the conversation. That's where I want you to go and share your insight with other professionals. And before we wrap all this up, I want to remind everybody, look, we're still in the middle of this pandemic. We have a surge in cases across the country right now. Businesses are starting to close in certain areas again, and then we'll have to be faced with reopening. I can't stress to you enough, you've got to have a plan to reopen. You've got to reopen properly. And one of the first things you need to do during these crazy times with COVID-19 is you've got to have the proper signs, labels. Your facility has to be laid out properly. And our friends over at Mighty Line Tape will have you covered with all of this stuff. I've been talking with them recently. They have some new products coming out. I should have an announcement on a new product that they're releasing in about a month or so. But for now, all of the floor markings, directional signs, the round stickers to indicate where folks have to stand, if they're going to be in line, if you're open to the public, or just your employees that are coming in to clock in, all of these things you can get from Mighty Line Tape to completely mark and lay out your facility for social distancing and have all these signs and labels made up. So go ahead and check out Mighty Line Tape. I've got a link in the show note for them as well. So keep everyone safe out there and happy hunting on your root cause analysis. Let me know what you think on LinkedIn, and I look forward to talking to you on the next Safety Pro Podcast episode.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Safety Pro Podcast, powered by iReport Source, the all-in-one digital safety solution. For info on how you can request a free demo on all the capabilities of iReport Source to streamline your business's safety management system, head over to thesafetypropodcast.com. We look forward to helping you manage safety on the next episode of the Safety Pro Podcast.